Right now it is time for Appraise This with Tim Luke and Greg Strom, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack. Treasure Quest Appraisal Group, you can find out more about them on the web, tqag.com. Let's see how they're doing after we didn't hear from them last week because busy. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
So are we both back at home, settled in and relaxed now?
No.
No, I'm in Indianapolis, and you heard from us last week. I was in Chicago.
Oh, that's right. It was the week before then. I don't know.
It's the week before. I know. This month is flying. Year is flying.
Yeah, 1 week runs into another, runs into another, runs into another. So now what are you doing in Indianapolis?
I'm doing a large estate appraisal. So we are here, and actually I'm here with a team from my colleagues from Hindman. We had our couture specialist because there was a lot of vintage clothing and different things that he was looking at. So that was yesterday. We started yesterday. Also, our book appraiser was here. We also had our jewelry person here because there was a lot of jewelry. And I'm here with my colleague, Mike, and I'm doing the fine art. He's doing the decorative arts. And we're going to spend the rest of today and part of tomorrow getting through everything. So and I'm really excited because I've just introduced a new appraisal software program that has a mobile app, which is very, very fancy, which the way that they were doing estate appraisals in the past, they were using an Excel spreadsheet or, it was a little antiquated. So we're updating the process. And I was very happy. And that's part of the reason why I wanted to be here. I was happy to introduce it, but also to help them, help the appraisers go through the app and making sure that they understood it. So when I was in Chicago last week, I met with the people that were going to be on site so that we could go over it. But it is a way of utilizing technology to help really incorporate it into our appraisal process, but also to help us really expedite the entire process. So the time that we're on site and getting the photos together and getting them indexed by the way that we're going through, by location and everything else, it's been a real, real great time.
Man, I'll tell you, the learning curve, not only for people to learn to use the app, but to set up something like that, it's like when we set up the radio station, people don't realize the setup that goes on behind the scenes to make these apps and make them work efficiently so they save everybody time.
Right. And one of the things is that just making sure that you get the photos in the right spot, but also then you track down the location of, because for IRS appraisals, we do it by rooms. So it's the master bedroom or it's the dining room or it's the living room. So just making sure that those things are there. And the great thing is because it's cloud-based, we all can be working on the same appraisal. We were all in it and we were able to generate all of our information. So at the end of the day yesterday, I came back to the hotel room and I was able to go in and just double check and make sure. And there were just little things that needed to be updated or changed, but everybody got it. I was really, really thrilled to see that. But it's like, yay, it works.
Normally there's that one straggler when you do something with apps and computers where they just don't get it. There's nothing you can do.
Well, that's why, again, that's why.
Are you talking about me?
No, you get it. But that's why I did the training in Chicago, because this is the first group and this is the first time that we're really using this in a large setting. I've been using it independently for the smaller appraisals that I have been doing, but we're moving forward that it is going to be now company-wide. And I made the comment on the way back. I said, I just can't wait till next year at this time to have all these appraisals just happening where I don't have to be troubleshooting and everybody will understand it. But we'll get there. It was interesting on site. People at the beginning, they're like, wait, how do we start this again? And what? I said, well, that's why I'm here. It's let's go through. And as soon as I got them going, they just like fish to water. They were great.
Now, Greg, you know technology, Greg. You've come a long
let's just,
you've come a long
yeah, let's
way.
Let's just say I know technology, but how to use it sometimes, totally different question.
So now
I'm one of those people with technology who, when they say point and click, I was stupid enough to believe them.
Well, no, there is point and click work. Come on, you know you had your website up, and your website was not bad. You did a good job with that.
Yeah, thank you. But you know, it was so much easier when all you had to do was pick up the phone and stick your finger in that little dial and just dial the numbers, and it just would go through, and you didn't have all of it. You know, you weren't holding your entire livelihood and life on this little telephone in your hand. So it was so much easier. Things were so much easier. You know, you used to be able to put your key in the ignition and turn it on and it would start. And now there's sometimes it just gets me real crazy because simplicity for me is so much better. Because I'm a logical person, but when it gets a little too difficult software-wise, or you know, computers, then I have to call my resident geek.
Well, you know, it's so funny about anything to do with computers. When people get involved with doing something on a computer, you can get caught going down a rabbit hole where there's no escape from it, in the search for information. And when that happens to me, I just end up. That's it. I'm out, and I open up a different. I shut down that that page, and I go because there's just only so far you can go. There just is.
Well, you bring up an interesting point, and that's about going down the rabbit hole. But I have to say that that ability has really been a major influence in our industry, because when you're looking for comparables for an appraisal, and believe me, you can go so far down the Google rabbit hole that you don't even remember where you started.
Yeah.
But it really has made it so much more fun. In a way that if you like research like I do, you can go down that rabbit hole, and before you know it, 5 hours have gone by, and there's so much that you can learn by actually going down that rabbit hole. It's just when the rabbit hole is closed that I have difficulty, because if I can't figure out how to get back down there, I'm sunk. But yeah, I do think that all of these apps and it's only bolstered the research that we do for appraisals, and especially for things like IRS appraisals. If you have that documentation, you know, documentation is key and it's king in when you're dealing with appraisals. So, and to be able to have that at your fingertips, even on site, I mean, 15 years ago or 20 years ago, you know, when we did appraisal events, we had to pack our library and take it with us. Now we can just go down that rabbit hole when we're on location, and, you know, it's a time saver. So, technology, I will say, can be a real pain, but it can be a real blessing at the same time. So I'm going to give it a pass.
All right. So now I need something explained to me. What is a natively digital NFT sale? Sotheby's.
You got me.
Sotheby's did a natively digital NFT sale, racking up $17.1 million, and more than almost $9 million was done in the final minutes of that auction. I have no idea what that auction is.
I don't know.
I think it goes back, Tim, to digital art. I you know, I could, but it's amazing to me because with all the news coming out about Bitcoin and everything like that, I would think that the digital art that we've talked about before would be in a little bit of a problem. But I don't even know if I'm right if it's digital art or not.
Yes, it is. Okay. So it's a collection of, well, this is from this site. This is what they're saying it is. It's a collection of remarkable, unique artworks co-created with Robert Alice. So they're natively digital. So they started out digital. So with NFTs, there are some things that were created that was on a canvas that may have started on a canvas and then moved to digital. So if it's natively digital, that's where it originated. So it originated as a digital artwork that was created with this co-creator, Robert Alice. And what Sotheby's is showing is that we showcase some of the earliest raw NFTs built on, and it's a... Greg, you're going to love this, on pre-Ethereum, E-T-H-E-R-E-U-M, pre-Ethereum chains alongside newer complex NFTs. So that has to do with the blockchain that they were created on, I'm assuming, that showcase the cutting-edge technological innovation. From across four continents, we have sourced emerging crypto artists and, air quotes, the old masters alike to exhibit their work. So what this is that this is all digital, that it started as a digital form. So that's where it was beginning. So what they're saying is that they put this together with this. It's a curated sale that was put together by this Robert Alice, putting it all together, showing this. They also said it was a multi-venue global exhibition, is presented in partnership with Samsung. So you know that there's money behind this, featuring their lineup of innovative TVs and projectors to showcase various NFT artworks. Interesting.
Man, I tell you. You go, yeah. And how about the... There was a coin that was sold for $18.9 million.
Yeah, I got a notification about that, but I've been so busy here, I didn't have a chance to. I was trying to read up on it.
It's a coin from 1933. Stuart Weitzman has it, a shoe designer. And it was sold at Sotheby's $18.9 million. But not that did include the fees that go along with all that. So that's just not the sale price.
Well, the coin was sold at Sotheby's. If I remember correctly,
yep.
But the reason that I discovered it was because I was looking at Heritage. Whenever we do coin conversation, that's the first place I always go. And so when I went into deep Google, I discovered that this sale had happened at Sotheby's, and I thought, oh, let me just send this to myself and I'll get a chance to read it. But I didn't. But I know that has to be a record. That has to be a record. So I'm going to do a little bit more research on that and find out what happened. But coins, you know, coins are really, really a big, well, I guess it's a commodity, even though it is a collectible, but they are doing gangbusters right now. And there are, if you check on the web, how many people are doing coin sales or how many coins are up for auction? It's totally amazing. It's almost getting to the point where they're becoming like pieces of art, some of them, because I did get a chance to look at they have different, you know, the different categories, and it's, you know, when they grade them, they have, the grading system, they have, it's called, it's just the qual, instead of having like A, B, C, or 1 through 10, they're now, some of them, it depends on how much it's been used. And when you look at it, if you're the person who is evaluating it, you say, well, this is heavily used, or heavily circulated, heavily circulated, light circulated, medium circulated. And what that means is, as opposed to those that are not circulated, that are in perfect mint condition and never been touched, these, they put the values on them based on how much they've been in circulation over the years, because the longer they've been in circulation, the more they're smoothed down, the edges are not quite as crisp, the image is worn down. So, and what's happened is all of that has really gotten people interested who weren't necessarily interested in coins before, but they've made it, it seems as though they've made it more accessible, with helping people understand what a coin should look like and why what that coin looks like if it is in, you know, top condition or the most valuable coins. So that was as far as I got on that that one particular coin. But I do want to see if there's any other information. I want to find out if they say who it belonged to, if there were other things, you know, how many of these are were in circulation, was this in circulation. So these are all things that, there again, you're going down the rabbit hole.
And Julian, right. We'll wrap things up with Julian's. They sold an Elvis guitar pick, $2.1 million.
Yes, that was a this was a really good sale.
Talk about testosterone bidding.
I know, a guitar pick.
Yes.
Yeah.
But go ahead, Greg.
Oh, go ahead, Tim.
No, what I was going to say, also in that sale, Marshall, have you ever wanted to turn back time?
Oh, all the time.
Well, Cher's famous bodysuit that was designed by Bob Mackie actually brought $115,200. I mean, you know, that, and there was also a Prince guitar. There was a Cloud, his 1994 Cloud guitar was blue. And that brought $281,250. So, you know, I mean, there was a lot that did sell. I missed the pick selling for $2 million. That's amazing.
That's unbelievable. It might have been $1.7 million. But, I mean, it was for a guitar pick. And I used to play guitar. Anybody that knows what a guitar pick is.
Sure, I play guitar.
It's yes, about an inch and a half high, maybe at most, and 3/4 inch wide. I mean, that's just amazing, though. Well, I guess
They actually sold a number of they weren't that high as the guitar pick, but you know, like John Denver, his guitar sold for like 25. He had two guitars in the sale, and they sold for around 25 grand. And interestingly enough, several lots after those sold, there was a guitar that was used by a member of the band that was on tour with John Denver. However, it only sold for like $3,000. So that just gives you an idea of the difference between the icon and the person who supported the icon.
Let's do apples to apples. So they also had two guitar picks. One was for Carl Perkins and the other John Wilkinson. The pair only sold for $192. So.
Hey, there's something that's in my budget.
Right there. But a guitar pick, remember, Marshall, we would get, like, you'd get 100 of them for, like, you know, a dollar.
It was ridiculous. And you'd leave them all over the place, and you'd
break everywhere. Them. And you couldn't find them.
No, that's exactly right. It was just like... the only thing great about the guitar pick, it was much better than when I used to play a saxophone and you had to suck on that reed. Oh, and I hated the taste of the reed. That's why I went to a guitar, because you didn't have to taste the reed. But yeah, well, maybe one day I'll find one of my old guitar picks and I'll put it up for auction. $17.95. It's yours.
There you go. right, that's $17.95.
That's right? Exactly right. Hey, guys, have a good week. I'll speak to you next week.
Hey, you too, okay. Marshall. Take care, buddy.
Bye-bye. Tim Luke and Greg Strom, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack. Appraise this. You'll find them at TQAG.com on the web.